I now give the floor to representative of China.
Mr. President, I wish to thank USG Feldman and Ambassador Carty for their briefings. Relevant Security Council resolutions contain explicit provisions on launches by the DPRK using ballistic missile technology. China expresses its great concern over and opposition to the latest missile launch by the DPRK. We strongly urge the DPRK to comply with relevant Security Council resolutions and cease actions that escalate the tensions on the Korean Peninsula. In the recent past, the overall situation on the peninsula was stable, which provided a window of opportunity for diplomatic efforts. Regrettably, this window failed to lead to a resumption of dialogue and negotiations. The nuclear issue on the Korean Peninsula has lasted for over two decades. During this period, the most valuable experience gained is that when the parties move towards each other and engage in virtuous interaction, agreement could be reached as a result. And the most important lesson is that when the parties adopted a tough stance and misjudged each other, the chances for peace would pass them by. This year, the Security Council has unanimously adopted resolutions 2356, 2371, and 2375. These resolutions have demonstrated the united position of the international community against the development by the DPRK of nuclear and ballistic missile capacities and upholding the international non-proliferation regime, and at the same time have stressed the importance of reducing tension on the peninsula by the parties concerned, reiterated the necessity of maintaining peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula and in Northeast Asia as a whole, and committed to seeking a settlement through peaceful diplomatic and negotiation means, that political means, while emphasizing that people's livelihood and humanitarian assistance efforts in the DPRK should not be negatively impacted. In view of the current grave situation on the Korean Peninsula, the top priority is for all the parties concerned to keep restraint, implement comprehensively and strictly relevant Security Council resolutions, and strive for an early resumption of dialogue and negotiations. China always stands for the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and for peace and stability on the peninsula. China has consistently advocated dialogue and negotiations as a means to achieve a settlement and opposed conflict and chaos on the peninsula, and we have worked tirelessly towards this goal. China has put forward the suspension for suspension proposal, namely suspension by the DPRK of nuclear and missile activities, and suspension by the U.S. and the ROK of large-scale joint military exercises. And China proposed the dual-track approach of promoting parallel progress in denuclearization and the establishment of a peace mechanism on the peninsula. The Russian Federation also has put forward the idea of a phased approach to the settlement of the issues of the Korean Peninsula. On the basis of the above proposals, China and the Russian Federation issued a joint statement on July the 4th this year proposing a roadmap for the settlement of the Korean Peninsula's problems. The joint initiative of China and Russia is practical and feasible and is aimed at promoting the peaceful settlement of the nuclear issue of the Korean Peninsula and maintaining peace and stability on the peninsula. As such, we hope it will elicit response and support from the parties concerned. In the current situation, the Security Council needs to shoulder its historic responsibility by prompting the parties to take integrated measures to settle problems through peaceful diplomatic and political means and maintain peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula. China will continue to implement the relevant Security Council resolutions comprehensively and in their entirety, and together with the parties concerned, continue to play an active and constructive role in seeking an appropriate settlement of the nuclear issue of the Korean Peninsula and an earlier realization of denuclearization and long-term peace and stability on the peninsula. China expects that all the parties, the main parties concerned in particular, will make their own efforts to this end by honoring their commitments in a constructive manner. On the DPRK Sanctions Committee, China believes that the committee's work should be conducive to the realization of the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, the maintenance of peace and stability on the peninsula, and the promotion of dialogue and negotiations among the parties concerned with a view to finding a solution. The panel of experts must act in strict compliance with its mandate and conduct its work under the principle of objectivity and impartiality and on the basis of substantiated evidence. It is China's consistent view that the Security Council sanctions against the DPRK should not negatively impact relevant humanitarian assistance activities. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of China for his statement and now give the floor to the representative of Ethiopia.
Thank you, Mr. President. We thank Under Secretary General Feltman for his briefing on the ballistic missile test yesterday by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea in violation of the relevant resolutions of the Security Council. For the past 3 months, we have been hopeful that the tension in the Korean Peninsula would be subsiding. We were thus optimistic, as Ukraine did, that there was reasonable ground for a diplomatic way out of the very dangerous stalemate we were witnessing. This latest test, which we strongly condemn, has no doubt undermined the hope that we had. But we are still convinced that it's not proper to abandon this hope, because in our view, there is no other acceptable option. The solution is political, as Under Secretary General Feltman said a while ago. Many who spoke before me have said the DPRK has to change its approach and behavior. We agree. But in the meantime, everything should be done to avoid any miscalculation, and all efforts should be made to de-escalate tensions. It may not be easy, but we believe all those who are in a position to make a difference should spare no effort in a united fashion in finding a peaceful, diplomatic, and political solution to the situation in accordance with the relevant Security Council resolutions and the UN Charter. In the meantime, ensuring full implementation of the various Security Council resolutions and the DPRK remains very critical. We appreciate the briefing by Ambassador Cardi on the activities of the 17-18 Committee and commend the able manner in which he is guiding the work of this committee. We welcome the outreach activities he conducted during the reporting period. In our view, such outreach activities significantly contribute to the full and effective implementation of relevant Council resolutions. The increase in the number of national implementation reports received following the outreach activities undertaken by the chair is testimony to this fact. I wish to conclude by once again reaffirming Ethiopia's commitment to continue fulfilling its obligations in this regard, and we look forward to us finding a political approach which would lay the basis for resolving the crisis that we are facing in the Korean Peninsula. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Ethiopia for his statement and also for his kind words, and I give the floor now to the representative of the Russian Federation.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'd like to express our gratitude to you as the chair of the 17-18 Committee for your presentation of the 90-day report, and also to the Undersecretary General, Mr. Feldman, for his briefing on the launch by DPRK of a ballistic missile on the 28th of November. this new violation by Pyongyang over a Security Council resolution is cause for deep disappointment. Once again, we have to take stock of the fact that prospects for normalizing the situation on the Korean Peninsula continue to be very distant. Without any doubt, This further demonstration of the open disregard by the DPRK of the demands of in the resolutions of the Security Council and the norms of international law justifies the most the strongest condemnation. Russia does not accept DPRK's goal of acquiring the status of a nuclear power and has supported all UN Security Council resolutions demanding an end to missile and nuclear programs of Pyongyang in the interest of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. At the same time, for us it is clear that there is no military solution to the problems on the Korean Peninsula. In the current conditions, we strongly call on all concerned parties to stop this spiral of tension, which seems to follow each cycle of reaction and then counter-reaction. It is essential to take a step back and carefully weigh the consequences of each move, to revise the policy of mutual threats and intimidation, because this policy only leads to consequences or goals that are opposite of those that are sought after. In the interests of the entire international community, to resolve the situation on the Korean Peninsula must be done only through peaceful means. In the meantime, until the states of the region do not show their readiness to pay due attention to the political components of all the sanctions resolutions, including Resolution 2375, the situation will continue to deteriorate and moving in a vicious circle. Mr. President, sanctions against Pyongyang are simply an instrument aimed at involving it in constructive negotiations and should not be used either for to strangle the DPRK economically or to intentionally worsen the humanitarian situation. This in particular pertains to the illegal unilateral restrictions that strike at civilian sectors that have no link to the missile and nuclear programs of the country. Over the past 2.5 months, the United States and its allies seem to have tried the patience of Pyongyang with its activities, including unplanned and undeclared military maneuvers, or recently introduced unilateral sanctions, and just recently announced the unprecedented military and air exercises by the United States and South Korea near the borders of the DPRK. They were just announced last week. Now, against the backdrop of the calm and quiet by Pyongyang, of these hostile moves against the DPRK, force us to really think about the sincerity of the statements by Washington about its preference for peaceful means of resolving the crisis around the DPRK. We believe that this time should have been used for concrete steps to establish direct contacts with Pyongyang rather than further escalating tensions. A comprehensive solution to the problems of the Korean Peninsula is possible only in the framework of a comprehensive military and political detente in Eastern and Northern Asia, easing military confrontation and establishing trust among the countries of the region. This is precisely the approach that was proposed by Russia and China in their joint statement on the 4th of July. And they proposed a roadmap of a gradual move towards a settlement, starting with the principle of suspension for suspension, which envisions the DPRK stopping missile and nuclear tests, while at the same time the United States and South Korea decreasing the scale of their military exercises. This, in turn, would pave the way to discussing the principles of peaceful coexistence between Washington and Pyongyang and resumption of the inter-Korean dialogue. I think everyone must be clear that moving towards a comprehensive settlement of the problems of the Korean Peninsula will be difficult as long as DPRK will feel that its security is threatened. It is precisely this way that Pyongyang interprets the extreme military activity in the region, which takes the form of regular large-scale maneuvers and exercises by the United States and its allies, including sending strategic bombers, naval task forces, and aircraft carriers to the region. An additional destabilizing factor in the region is the ramping up on the territory of the Republic of Korea of elements of the American anti-missile system, THAAD. We have stated more than once that these kinds of moves are not only an irritant, but overall undermine the military balance in the region and also threaten the security of neighboring states. Today, all countries involved must do everything they can not to provoke each other, but rather to show restraint and not to allow further steps that could escalate tensions further. In connection with this, we strongly urge the DPRK to stop its missile and nuclear tests, and we call on the United States and the Republic of Korea to refrain from their large-scale and unplanned military maneuvers that are to start at the beginning of December that will only inflame an already explosive situation. Mr. President, the position of Russia on resolving the situation around the Korean Peninsula remains unchanged. An effective search for a long-term and mutually acceptable solution to all the range of problems can only be done through tireless and active diplomatic efforts. In this context, we call on all sides to immediately begin work on finding a formula for a political and diplomatic settlement. We don't see any rational alternative to this path. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the Russian Federation for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Senegal.
Merci, Monsieur le
Thank you, President. President, I would like at the outset to thank the Japanese and American delegations for having called for this evening's emergency session. I would also like to thank the Italian presidency for having agreed to the Japanese and American request and for having organized this meeting, and also to thank the Undersecretary General, Mr. Feltman, for having provided us with such a clear and factual briefing. Similar thanks and indeed congratulations should go to Ambassador Sebastiano Cardi of Italy personally, this time in his capacity as chair of the 1718 Sanctions Committee on the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. We thank you for the clarity of your briefing to us this afternoon, but more than that, for your leadership of the 1718 Sanctions Committee. President, the Senegalese delegation, in our turn, condemns, once again, unequivocally and categorically, this fresh launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile by North Korea. This launch occurs a scant 2 months after the adoption on after the 15th of September launch of a missile which overflew Hokkaido, and it therefore calls into question the effectiveness of the sanctions against North Korea. In effect, as it should be compelled to do so by the various resolutions that have been adopted on the DPRK and on the nuclear launches, the Security Council must react robustly to the obstinate continuance by the authorities of the DPRK of their military nuclear program, which is a deliberate violation of the resolutions of the Security Council. The Senegalese delegation would like to underscore the point that targeted measures, a legitimate response to the threat posed by the North Korean nuclear and ballistic program, these measures, as contained in the most recent Security Council resolution on North Korea, must be an integral component of a holistic and political strategy to push and control the parties to engage in frank dialogue with the end goal of the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, backed by the active support of the international community. Moreover, Senegal, reiterating its own doctrine of peaceful and diplomatic solution and resolution of disputes and the applicability of that doctrine to the Korean crisis, would like to reiterate its appeal to the parties to resume face-to-face dialogue as a segue to verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, thus fostering the likelihood of peaceful coexistence of the peoples and nations of the region. We cannot, nonetheless, downplay the challenge inherent in ensuring full implementation of Council decisions by all states, international organizations, and the private business sector alike, because the current uneven and piecemeal follow-through on Council-mandated measures, including sanctions, has made it child's play for North Korea to exploit the implementation gaps to obtain the resources that it needs to be able to continue its illegal and dangerous program. President, turning now to the work of the 1718 Sanctions Committee on the DPRK, my delegation commends the efforts made by all members of that body as they seek to boost the full implementation of sanctions measures against the DPRK, and we encourage the members of the Sanctions Committee to continue these efforts. My country hails the awareness-raising work of the committee and of its group of experts, which are always willing to provide guidance to any requesting state, whether that be through the provision of information on designated entities or taking the guise of advice on the submission of reports on non-compliance, as well as sharing ways to improve the implementation of the relevant resolutions, which it is the guardian of. We encourage the adoption of an implementation reporting mechanism by the 1718 Sanction Committee and support the draft assistance notes for the implementation of the provisions of the resolutions on North Korea, which are undeniably helpful to member states. That said, we reiterate Senegal's concerns about recent cases of violations by the DPRK, and we urge North Korea to refrain from the current cycle of provocation, commit to a peaceful, diplomatic, political, and holistic solution, and to reach that solution through dialogue. This will presage the restoration of peace in the Korean Peninsula. To achieve this lofty goal, we call upon the DPRK to halt and to abandon once and for all its existing nuclear and ballistic missile programs, and to do so in a complete, verifiable, and irreversible way. To conclude, President, I would like to reiterate Senegal's ongoing readiness and willingness to play our full part in efforts to ensure the full implementation of Resolution 1718 and other relevant resolutions of the Security Council pertaining to the DPRK. Indeed, my country will, in the upcoming weeks, submit its own report on the implementation of Resolutions 2371 and 2375. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative of Senegal, for his statement and his kind word of appreciation regarding the chair of the Committee 1718. And now I give the floor to the Representative of Kazakhstan.
Mr. President, I thank USG Jeffrey Feltman as well as Ambassador Cardi for their informative reports. Kazakhstan is extremely concerned about another provocative missile launch by Pyongyang. Our Ministry of Foreign Affairs has issued an extremely condemning statement on this matter. Undoubtedly, such actions run counter to the demands of the international community and gravely violate all relevant resolutions of the UN Security Council. Pyongyang has to understand that the world will not accept its nuclear status. All sides should refrain from any provocative actions, because further provocations will only generate even greater confrontation and spur a new wave of escalations with untold consequences. The outcomes of such a scenario will be most grave for all involved parties. We continue to hold the strong conviction that there is no alternative to a peaceful solution to the North Korean crisis, and the stalemate can only be overcome through negotiations, dialogue, and goodwill by all parties. Economic sanctions should be smart and targeted and not deteriorate the overall humanitarian situation in the DPRK. We must avoid sliding down to the military paths with its often unpredictable hazards from which we may not be able to extricate ourselves. ASNA therefore stands for the tireless search for comprehensive and collective solution of the issues through new decisive political and diplomatic actions. It is only through meaningful communication and collective deliberations accompanied by confidence-building measures that we'll be able to find a way out of this very complex situation. The Council should remain united on this issue and exert a new determined political will to avert the undesired consequences before the hostilities get entrenched even deeper and the last of the red lines has been crossed irreversibly. Once again, I thank Ambassador Cardi for his informative report and for his most committed efforts as chair of the 17-18 committee, especially since this will be the last presentation on the subject in his current quality. As Italy will be leaving us at the end of this year, I would like to acknowledge its outstanding contribution to the work of the Security Council. We recognize the practical outcomes of the committee's work under the chairmanship of Ambassador Cardi, who provided very good momentum through a series of ongoing outreach activities, provision of regular update lists of individuals and legal entities, as well as the agreed and approved list of WMD-related and conventional arms-related weaponry, updated IANs and fact sheets, and other relevant data. The well-organized work of the committee has undoubtedly contributed to the effective implementation of all relevant sanctioned resolutions of the Council. We hope that the thorough work of the committee and its sincere investment on every front to resolve the overall issues with North Korea will also contribute to persuade the DPRK to abandon its nuclear pact. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Kazakhstan for his statement and for his kind words addressed to me. And I'll give the floor to the representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia.
Muchas gracias, señor.
Thank you very much, President. As my first order of business, I would like to thank the Undersecretary General, Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, for the briefing submitted to the Council today. And I would also like to thank you, Ambassador, in your capacity as chair of the 17-18 committee, for the work that you have undertaken for your valuable leadership. Bolivia once again categorically condemns the launch of the ballistic missile by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea that took place yesterday, the 28th of November, thought to be the most powerful and longest-range device to date. Today, we repeat our urgent appeal to this country to abandon its nuclear and ballistic missile program in a complete, verifiable, and irreversible way. And we call upon the DPRK to comply with the provisions of the Security Council's relevant resolutions. Bolivia, proud to call the first region declared a nuclear weapons-free zone under the Treaty for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons in Latin America and the Caribbean, better known as the Tlatelolco Treaty, home, will always decry and repudiate the development and manufacture of nuclear weapons, given that these practices constitute a grave violation of international law and are a direct threat to the survival of our species on this, our home, Mother Earth. In a similar vein, Bolivia, in its capacity as a pacifist state that promotes culture and the right to peace, rejects any use of force or threat of the use of force as an instrument for settling disputes and or solving conflicts between states. Based on that conviction, we urge all the parties involved to row back from inflaming the tensions further and from exacerbating the war of words, which will only serve to jeopardize international peace and security, particularly in the Korean Peninsula. We urge all the parties to refrain from any act of provocation, from any unilateral step, or from any action taken outside strict adherence to international law and the principles of the Charter of the United Nations. And we once again voice our support for the Chinese initiative of the suspension for suspension that would allow for a simultaneous halt in build-up in the Korean Peninsula. By the same token, in the framework of the provisions of paragraph 27 of Resolution 2371, we as the Council must spare no effort to encourage resumption of the six-party talks, taking as a starting point for those resumed six-party talks the Russian-Chinese proposal and its related roadmap, which currently is the only tangible proposal for resolving the situation that has been put forward. President, over the last 6 months, the Security Council has adopted one of the most draconian sets of sanctions ever seen in this body's lifetime, certainly over the last few decades. Adoption is all well and good, but now states must work towards full implementation of the provisions of those sanctions so that they can serve their stated purpose. In saying this, we underscore that as far as Bolivia is concerned, sanctions cannot be an end per se, but rather must serve as a tool to encourage parties to sit down together in order to engage in transparent dialogue, a dialogue whose only guiding principle needs to be the determination of the parties to achieve a negotiated end to the conflict. President, we would like to recall to the membership that in line with Article 24 of the United Nations Charter, we as this body bear the responsibility for maintaining international peace and security. And in this vein of ideas, we must take decisions promoting the peaceful settlement of disputes. We thus... We must therefore take advantage of the option of asking the Secretary General of the United Nations to use his good offices in order to find a peaceful solution to this complex situation. Finally, Bolivia repeats its call to all the parties involved in this conflict to cast aside thoughts of any alternative solution that might be military or using force or the threat of force, but instead to return to the negotiating table to achieve a peaceful, diplomatic and political solution, which, we reiterate, will deliver on the aspiration of a denuclearized Korean peninsula. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of France.
Mr. President, allow me to first of all thank Mr. Jeffrey Feldman for his briefing, and to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your work at the head of the 1718 Committee on North Korea, as well as for your exemplary energy and the work of your team that you've demonstrated in dealing with this matter. I would like to also thank the United States, Japan, and the Republic of Korea for having requested this meeting following the announcement of a launch of a ballistic missile by North Korea. France, in a statement by President Macron, condemned this launch in the strongest terms. And I would like to once again, as our Minister for Europe and Foreign Affairs, Jean-Yves Le Drian, express the full solidarity of France for Japan and South Korea, who are in the front lines and facing this threat. Mr. President, allow me to focus on the three main criteria that are guiding French policy in this area. The first one is the need to be lucid in the face of the way this threat has evolved. Let us not commit any mistakes. After the launches and tests of this summer and then in September, the threat has changed in scale and in character. From a regional threat, it has become a global threat. From a virtual threat, it has become an immediate threat. In other words, it has become unprecedented in scale. This threat affects all of us because it weighs on all of us. After this latest launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile that took place yesterday, North Korea has resumed its irresponsible race towards escalation. This new launch reminds us how dangerously the situation has evolved. The progress accomplished methodically in the area of nuclear capacities and ballistic capacities, and I think this launch is another illustration of this, have led to this global and immediate threat that I just mentioned. By accumulating provocations that are more and more aggressive, North Korea has constantly threatened international and regional peace and security. Now, the second criteria that is an essential priority for us is the need to be firm. In the face of North Korean regime's disregard for international standards and norms, it is essential to act in a determined way. It is essential to react against this attack against international peace and security and the system of laws that it's based on. Let us be absolutely clear. Through the North Korean ballistic and nuclear program, it is the international regime for non-proliferation, nuclear non-proliferation, that is endangered. In other words, weakness or inaction is not an option in this situation. Now, in this context, our top priority should be to put as much pressure as possible on the North Korean regime by clearly combining two types of measures. First of all, the need to accelerate and expand the full implementation of existing sanctions, and there's still some room for maneuver on this line of action. The work of the 1718 committee, supported by the panel of experts, and I think your report on this is very instructive. The role of this committee is essential, and we are grateful for the increasing number of national implementation reports and also the work underway to give concrete contents to the and concrete follow-up to the sanctions. We should step up these efforts and accelerate them. We also need to be particularly vigilant in the face of methods by North Korea to dodge sanctions, and it's current, it's very inventive in adapting itself to dodging sanctions. So we need to be inventive as well. But the rapid deterioration of the threat means we need to go still further. This is why France is in favor of strengthening sanctions. And we know that only strong sanctions can influence the strategies of the North Korean regime. So France is ready to work immediately with this end in mind, together with all its partners on the Security Council. The European Union is also contributing to these efforts. It has adopted last month further additional measures in addition to implementing United Nations sanctions. Mr. President, the firm and united reaction that France is calling for aims at two goals. First of all, to react to this unjustified escalation of by Pyongyang, and react to the flagrant disregard for our own decisions. But also, the goal is to ramp up pressure on the North Korean regime in order to force it to fulfill its obligations and to bring it back to reason. And so, the third criteria for us and the third demand for us is to be guided by diplomacy. Only a firm attitude, only firmness can pave the way for diplomatic solutions. Indeed, the strongest firmness today, Mr. President, by strengthening sanctions is the best means we have to promote a diplomatic solution tomorrow. Otherwise, the North Korean regime will see anything that smacks of division or weakness will only encourage it in its escalation, and will thus increase the risk of the situation deteriorating even further. And so, the unity of the Security Council is our best antidote, the best reaction to this situation, and the best way of leading towards a political solution, which should be based on a complete and verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. So we're not closing the door to dialogue. We've never shut it. It's the North Korean regime, through its irresponsible behavior, that continues to reject this option. And as long as North Korea will disregard our decisions and will continue to increase its threat by moving from provocation to provocation, our only response will be to increase pressure as a way to bring North Korea back to the table of negotiations and to pave the way for the political and diplomatic solution that we would like to see. Mr. President, those are the three main criteria that should guide our efforts. So to be lucid on the unprecedented nature of the threat, maximum firmness and decisiveness in responding to this threat, and lastly, a diplomacy and a political settlement as a long-term solution to resolve the nuclear issue on the North Korean Peninsula. And I think given the importance of the non-proliferation regime, France would like to invite all parties involved to follow this very difficult path. Thank you.
Statement and for his kind words. I now give the floor to the representative of Uruguay.
Thank you, President.
I would like to thank Undersecretary General for Political Affairs Jeffrey Feltman for his briefing. I also thank the delegations of the United States, Japan and the Republic of Korea for having convened for this open briefing. We find ourselves once again faced with a threat by North Korea, which refuses to desist from its mulish behaviour of showcasing its increasingly sophisticated nuclear program and its ability to launch these weapons. Uruguay once again condemns in the strongest possible terms this latest launch of a ballistic missile presumed to have intercontinental range by North Korea yesterday. All of these tests are reckless, irresponsible, and unacceptable. Uruguay reiterates its demand to North Korea to abandon its existing nuclear program in a complete, verifiable, and irreversible way, with an immediate halt to be brought to all related activities, including launches using ballistic missile technology and other acts of saber-rattling. Three missiles have endangered Japan this year alone, representing an immediate threat to this country and to its people. We repeat that these incidents and incidents of this ilk are a serious threat to international peace and security and constitute a shameless violation of international law. We reiterate that North Korea must respect and abide by all the resolutions of the Security Council and give up its nuclear ambitions, returning to the path of dialogue, the overall end goal of which dialogue must be denuclearization. However, President, rehashing all these points is leaving us on a hiding to nothing. Without prejudice to the wisdom of enhancing an effective sanctions regime, there can be no denying that it is necessary to crack the current cycle of rinse and repeat by which North Korea systematically violates the resolutions of the Security Council, and the Security Council then responds by imposing sanctions after the fact and issuing communiques that wither and die do not alter in the slightest the status quo. We cannot continue on this treadmill. We need to conceive and coordinate strategies that lead to a resolution of the standoff with the North Korean regime, which is currently hedging its bets on an escalation of tensions whose fallout could be disastrous for the region and indeed beyond. Uruguay reiterates its call for dialogue, motivated by our belief that there can be no other solution to the North Korean situation other than that of peaceful solution through conversation, negotiation, and political compromise between the parties. The time is nigh for a shift in the current pattern on the topic of North Korea before it is too late, and all that will be left for us to do is weep over a catastrophe of unthinkable magnitude. Uruguay's term as an elected member of the Security Council is fast coming to an end. Over the last 2 years, we have witnessed a hike in the number of occasions in which we have debated the situation in North Korea. Our country participated in the adoption of 5 resolutions throughout that 2-year term on sanctions that are harsh sanctions on that. And we also participated in a sizable number of declarations and press communiques. Nonetheless, North Korea continues to plough its lonely furrow unmoved and unchecked. The solution to this delicate situation lies in diplomacy and diplomacy alone, in the framework of an international strategy that enjoys the full and robust support of all countries, particularly those with influence over the Korean Peninsula. Acts of provocation will continue unabated unless the current trajectory is corrected towards the path of dialogue and negotiation. Thus, Uruguay reaffirms its commitment to continue working towards a peaceful, diplomatic and political solution to usher in the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Thank you very much, President.
I thank the representative of Uruguay for his statement and shall now make a statement in my capacity as representative of Italy. And I'd like, first of all, to thank Undersecretary Jeff Feltman for his briefing. And once again, this Council is confronted with an irresponsible and illegal provocation by the DPRK regime. Italy firmly condemns, as stated today by Prime Minister Gentiloni and Foreign Minister Alfano, Pyongyang's launch of another ballistic missile of intercontinental range, which constitutes a grave threat of a truly global nature, as well as an immediate danger to neighboring countries, to whom we express our full solidarity. North Korea's persistent defiance of the non-proliferation regime in violation of multiple UNSC resolutions represents a threat to regional stability as well as to international peace and security. We encourage the international community to stand together in order to defend our collective security. Maintaining a high level of economic and diplomatic pressure on the regime constitutes the appropriate response to the DPRK reckless behavior. We will continue to work on this as a member of the Security Council for the remainder of the year, as well as within the European Union. Allow me also to reiterate in this context the primary importance that Italy attaches to the continued unity of the Security Council on this matter. Italy has also adopted additional measures at the national level consistent with relevant UNSC resolutions, such as interrupting the accreditation procedure for the DPRK ambassador in Rome. Through this decision, we intended to convey an unequivocal message regarding the need for the DPRK to abandon its defiant and self-isolating policies. I have already spoken about sanctions implementation in my capacity of 17-18 committee chair. I wish to add, however, that we are committed to ensuring, as reaffirmed in the Council's latest resolutions, that the sanctioned regime does not have unintended negative consequences on the humanitarian situation in the country. We will be addressing this topic at the next 17-18 committee meeting. I therefore renew our full solidarity with the people of North Korea, who continue to suffer as the regime ignores their basic needs in the pursuit of nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them. We call on the DPRK to reverse course immediately and verifiably, putting an end to all nuclear and missile-related activities, thus making credible progress on its obligation to denuclearize. This is the only course of action through which North Korea can begin to regain the trust of the international community and open the way to a peaceful solution through meaningful negotiations. I now resume my function as President of the Council, and I give the floor to the representative of the Republic of Korea.
Mr. President, let me also begin by thanking you for convening this emergency meeting of the Security Council on North Korea's long-range ballistic missile launch conducted at dawn on the 29th of November, local time. I'm grateful for this opportunity to take part in the discussions on this urgent and important issue. My special thanks also go to Undersecretary General Jeffrey Feltman for his briefing and to you, Mr. President, for your 90-day report as chair of the 17-18 committee. Mr. President, North Korea broke the 75-day pause in its provocations with yet another ballistic missile launch yesterday. We are taken aback by the degree of recklessness on the part of North Korea, acting in defiance against the entire international community, which has been sending out the unprecedentedly strong and unified message of warning to stop its further provocations. Countries across virtually all continents have recently taken robust and biting measures against North Korea's illicit program of weapons of mass destruction. These are not only through full and thorough implementation of the relevant UN Security Council resolutions, but also through other voluntary means available, such as curtailing commercial transactions or downsizing the diplomatic presence and relations with North Korea. It was amidst these concerted actions by the whole international community that North Korea came up with yet another launch of a ballistic missile with intercontinental range. We simply cannot and should not take such a reckless provocation less seriously than any other previous provocations by North Korea. For the past 2 months, some view that the absence of North Korean provocations following the Hwasong-12 launch on September 15th might indicate that North Korea was finally awakened to a stark reality. Others had high hopes that North Korea would continue its restraint in the spirit of the Olympic truce resolution that we all adopted by consensus at the plenary session of the General Assembly earlier this month. Some even saw a possible window of opportunity from this relatively long period of silence that might tip the balance towards an easing of the tensions on the Korean Peninsula. These well-intentioned hopes may well evaporate following North Korea's missile provocation yesterday. But it is premature yet to give up our hope. our road towards the denuclearization of North Korea has once again proven to be extremely bumpy, but we should not stop here due to frustration. Narrow as it may be, there is still a window of opportunity. We need to remain patient and persistent in our diplomatic efforts to bring North Korea back to the negotiating table. The Security Council should never stop sending out an unequivocal message that a nuclear North Korea with ballistic missile capability is unacceptable, and renew its unwavering commitment to stepping up sanctions and pressure until North Korea finally abandons its nuclear and missile programs. North Korea, for its part, must not take lightly the message coming out of today's meeting of the Security Council. If North Korea continues to underestimate or miscalculate the firm resolve of the international community, it will transpire to be a grave mistake. North Korea should be awakened from its false sense of security. We urge Pyongyang once again to seize the rapidly closing window of opportunity to resolve its nuclear problem peacefully and thereby ensure its security. As has been repeatedly emphasized loud and clear, the international community is ready to provide a better future for North Korea if it makes the right choice. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of the Republic of Korea for his statement. There are no more names inscribed on the list of speakers. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.